The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It is really useful to explore setting up the, what I sometimes call the container of our meditation, with the qualities that we're heading in the direction of, this relaxed, receptive, but very alert, connected attention. I kind of learned the hard way, thinking that what I was supposed to do at the beginning of meditation was to get concentrated, hold on to the breath, and that created a container, and I was able to stay with the breath, but it created kind of a brittle container and one that had some tension in it. And so exploring, I spent quite a bit of time on one long concentration retreat exploring how to settle and stabilize the attention with the breath, but with relaxation and ease. The receptive analogy, the receptive mode was very supportive in that way. I'll just offer a couple more things that I explored as tools, two more that I explored as tools. I have more, but I'll just give you two right now. One is to explore maybe not looking directly at the breath, but kind of letting it appear in the periphery of our attention. If you have ever been outside looking at stars at night, you might recognize that if you try to look directly at a star, sometimes it's hard to see, especially something like, for me at least, the Pleiades, you know, they're kind of fuzzy. But if I look just off to the side, I can see much more detail. So in this way, kind of just looking just a little bit to the side, or not trying to focus right at the breath, but kind of like if you're exploring the experience of the breath at the nostrils or maybe in the abdomen, thinking of looking at a bigger area and seeing what shows up in the area where you think you're looking at the breath. It's kind of like looking at the periphery of the experience. And that was supportive for me in terms of receiving the breath. The other tool I found useful is at times finding a container of relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, and then instead of like taking my attention and trying to find the breath, I just simply requested, may the attention rest with the breathing. And then I didn't try to do it. I just dropped that request into my meditation. Sometimes the attention would cooperate more often than I would have expected. Let me just try that right now. Just relax the body. May the attention rest with the breathing. And don't try to do it. Don't point the attention at the breath. If you find that supportive, you're welcome to explore using that kind of request. The other thing, just to remind you all of, most of you having sat many retreats, or at least several retreats, are familiar with the sleepiness and sometimes restlessness that happens in the first few days of retreat. This is normal, of course. Just sometimes we You know, with this kind of receptive experience with the breath, sometimes we can just know the sleepiness and the breath. Like, don't try to fight the sleepiness or the rest. Oh, restless and the breath. Sleepiness and the breath. At times, of course, it can be useful if the sleepiness overtakes you to, or restlessness too, it can be useful to open the eyes. In either case, with sleepiness or restlessness, sometimes opening the eyes for the sleepiness, it brightens the mind. For the restlessness, it gives more space. So opening the eyes can be useful. With sleepiness, sometimes just simply straightening the posture or doing standing meditation can support you. But sometimes just simply seeing the possibility that sleepiness doesn't necessarily mean that mindfulness can't be there. So there's the mind is sleepy and the breath, exploring that possibility. So Gil is going to do some walking instructions.
Walking is an important part of the rhythm of a retreat life, the walking meditation. And there are many reasons why we do walking meditation. Maybe the best one is that it's such an ordinary part of life is to walk, and we want to learn how to be embodied in the walking, to be present for the experience, and not to be been time lost or distracted, but really be here. And also alternating between sitting and walking brings into balance a host of different psychological and physical factors that come into play when we're meditating on a retreat, and we want to bring those into balance. So very simply, for example, would be that if if we sat all day, chances are most people get kind of lethargic. But if we walked all day, we'd probably be a little bit too energized. But the alternation back and forth kind of moves to a certain kind of balance, brings things into balance more in a nice way. Other things as well are supported by going back and forth. And one of the useful ways of beginning the walking practice is to find a walkway that's about 20 or 30 paces long and simply walk back and forth. It's certainly possible to walk other ways. Some people will wander around. Some people walk in circles. The advantage of walking back and forth is that, compared to wandering around, is that pretty quickly you know the route. And so the part of the mind that has to kind of a little bit be negotiated, innocently negotiating the path, the route, what's going on, is put to rest. And so sometimes it's possible to get quieter by just keeping it really simple. And if you walk in a circle, it's continuous. And so it's very easy to in the continuity of walking, for it to hide the continuity of our thinking. But if we walk back and forth and come to a stop, turn around, and start again, or just not turning around, there's more likely to catch the fact that, oh, I've drifted off in thought, and I'm thinking more than I am being aware. And so it's a time to kind of reminder, okay, let's come start again. So finding a walkway that's about 20, 30 paces long. And I find one of the most useful things to do at first is to find a pace that brings a sense of ease. Whatever's easy to do, easeful to do, and so that could be any pace at all, depending on what's happening with you. There are times where that's, I think more often than not, it tends to be a little bit slower than ordinary street pace. Sometimes it becomes very slow. But sometimes it becomes very fast. And my teacher in Burma, he power walked every time that I saw him do a walking meditation. And I would probably have to jog to keep up with him if I was going to walk next to him the way he was going so fast. And I've gone found it really useful sometimes to really walk fast meditation. Just that sometimes the strong energies, the strong emotions are somehow better, it's easier to be present for them and allow for them with the fast walking. If you want to, so whatever brings you a sense of ease, and it's a vague term, ease. Some people, when they're angry, will go for a walk, and maybe they don't say that they're walking in a way that brings ease, but it's somehow making it easier to be with it. If you do fast walking like that, it's best to do it away from the people who are doing slow, so you don't frighten them, because, you know, they're going back and forth, speeding along, so probably outside is good, in the parking lot or someplace. And and once you have a sense of ease or easiness in the walking, relaxed walking, then I think to kind of just check in with yourself and see where there's some tension or straining or expectations that might not be useful to have, and see if in letting go of those you can settle into your body. I think a lot of the awareness of walking meditation is an embodied awareness. And we're not trying to be in the control tower, kind of watching the body, but rather almost as if awareness is the body, or resides in the body. The receptive awareness is the whole body receiving the experience. And so to drop into the body and kind of feel and sense and kind of experience the whole thing, for the whole experience of walking. And then with the aim, as you settle in, to let the attention settle down to the biggest places of movement. In sitting meditation, the biggest area of movement for most people would be the breathing, the body going into expansion and contraction of breathing, or sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. And so the biggest kind of active movement is the legs walking, or the feet stepping. And so it's kind of a center of gravity, or kind of a center of attention from sometimes you settle in there. If you're in your body, that's where the center of action is. And to go down and just feel gently the sensations of the feet as they walk. If you're walking fast, it's mostly just feeling the contact with the ground, perhaps. Or if you're walking slow, it's the feeling the experience of the foot that's doing the stepping. As the foot lifts off the ground, feeling the sensations of what happens as the lightening and pushing off happens, and the movement of the foot through the air, and then putting gently down, the contact with the ground again. It's a whole series of kaleidoscope of sensations that come into play. And rather than being in the control tower trying to analyze or figure out what it is, it's more like the feet or the lower legs are like sponges for sensations. It's all these sensations that come into play, and imagine like you're a sponge of picking up water, you're a sponge picking up sensation, and just allowing these to come and show themselves, reveal themselves as we're aware in that part. And then just walking back and forth. You can do anything you want with your hands, what's comfortable. There's a variety of options. Some people keep it in their pockets. Some people will keep them behind their back. Some people will like to have their hands somehow higher up in their belly. Like in Zen, they go up like this. And I know some people find it easier for their back to take like a sweater or something, a blanket, and tie it around their waist. And then it holds their hands up so they're supported here. And it kind of keeps the torso upright more easily. That works better for some people's backs. If you're walking back and forth and you find yourself lost in thought, then it's very nice to stop and just check in with yourself. Rather than fighting it, just stop and check in and be present for what the experience is. And then when you're ready, you can start again. Sometimes it's just that kind of full checking in is enough to kind of abate some of the strong attraction of thinking. Or same thing if there's a lot of strong emotions. You always have the option to stop and just check in and be with it and acknowledge. It's also helpful, I think, with the walking back and forth to not have too high of a goal of being mindful the whole time, but rather maybe have the intention to be mindful for one pass. From here to where I'm going to turn around, I'm going to try to be present for this experience. And then you turn around and And that, and taking, having the intention to be present in smaller chunks sometimes is much more realistic for people. And just keep, you know, resetting it in a nice way. The I think it's the usual way that I know is to keep the eyes down about 45 degrees, partly so that you're not kind of easily looking at sights around you. Your eye is not caught with the, what you see. And and some people even find, especially in the beginning when you're kind of settling in, some people find it useful to go to a place where there's not a lot of things to look around them when they do the walking meditation, just if they're easily pulled into that world. And then finally, the some people find it helpful to do what's called mental noting, and some people don't. But the mental note is a way of using a very subtle, quiet whisper of a thought to help have your thoughts help you to be present, rather than have your thoughts do whatever they do, which more likely will wander off. An idle mind will get in trouble. So the so just give the mind something to do. And so this primitive thought, when you're doing the stepping, of just saying to yourself, stepping, stepping. And that's a little bit of a pointer. There, right? Stay right there. It's like, stay right there. Be with the step. Feel the step. Sense it. The label is not that important. It's just more like a little support, a coach that says, stay right there. Feel that. This is what I'm experiencing. And it gives a thinking mind something to do, and rather than wandering off. So then when people walk slow, it's sometimes lifting, placing, lifting, placing. The sometimes I've done left and right, and that's very nice because sooner or later I'll find myself saying right for the left foot and left for the right foot, and that represents a kind of loss of mindfulness, of presence. The it's helpful to walk during the walking period. Generally, it's helpful to walk as big of a block of time as you can. It's not helpful to take, you know, little 5 minute segments. So walk for 5 minutes and then decide to go have tea. Walk for 5 minutes, then to go pee. Walk for 5 minutes, then go sit down. there's value in continuity, just in the same way that water boils if you keep the flame on. So just kind of stay in the bigger, you know, bigger block is helpful for oftentimes. And of course, take a break if you need or do what you need to do, but you might consider trying to do as much of that as you can. And different people have different relationships to the walking meditation. And some people, it's an acquired taste, which was the case for me. I didn't like it. And but the wonderful thing is that you don't have to like it to benefit from it. So if you get caught up in liking and not liking, it can kind of interfere with the whole process. It's okay not to like, but it's just, you know, it's okay to just do it anyway, and let it kind of grow and develop for you over time. Here at IRC, you can pretty much walk anywhere that seems obvious. We have a walking hall next door. People walk the short distance back and forth. You can walk around the decks outside. You can walk in the community hall downstairs. Some people love walking on the rug down there, the carpet. You can, you know, outdoors in the parking lot, outside in the forest. The redwood deck, we have called the forest deck, which is this new deck that's just, you know, the big one just beyond the upper parking lot of a driveway here. That has a very solid feeling. We ask that you don't walk in here because someone might be sitting in here. Some people can do walking in the dining hall, but if someone's sitting having their tea quietly, you should probably stay kind of away from where they are. So there's a variety of places. Any questions about that? For those of you who have been here, been on retreat a lot before, at some point what can be helpful is to have continuity throughout the day. And I want to emphasize now is that how you get up from here and go to where you're going to do walking meditation, you could give some consideration to how you're going to do that, what way is most supportive for you. And there's different ways, different choices, depending on how you are, what's going on for you. The classic choice that is to get up and make the walk from here to where you're going be walking meditation as well, and to walk in a way where you maintain the presence of mind, as opposed to, you know, just the bell rings and, okay, time to stop and think about just about anything else, and then make your way to the walking place and then start again once you get there. And then that doesn't provide much of that, you know, continuity, the momentum that can build over time. But there's different choices, but you might want to give some thought to how you get up from here and go out. So then at 11 o'clock, those of you who are interested, I'll remind people then, but I'll stay in the hall and beginning of the next walking period, and then I will give instructions on meditation posture, both in the chair and for the floor. Good. Great. Thank you.